Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel, as you've heard read, the transfiguration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Dearest beloved of God, why is it when it comes to spiritual things, people are always looking for a mountaintop experience? What's with this desire to be excited? Why are dynamic and vibrant such popular adjectives for advertising a church? Why must the content of our Lord's holy gospel be less important than the ecstatic emotions of your worship experience? You may have noticed there was something of a long pause after every question. I did that on purpose because I want you to ponder your worship experience. Well, if you could have had a mountaintop experience like Peter, James, and John, then maybe I would possibly have no reason to ask such questions. After all, theirs truly was a mountaintop experience, literally and spiritually speaking. In witnessing Jesus' glorious transfiguration, they witnessed the glory of the Christ as much as the human eye could understand it anyhow. They saw their Lord Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah. They beheld a bright white cloud covering them, and they heard the voice of the Father from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Oh, theirs was truly a mountaintop experience. A mountaintop experience indeed. By the way, this is the only time that his disciples see Jesus in all of his brilliance and in all of his glory. Not to mention the appearance of two of the Old Testament's most valuable players, or may I say, most valuable prophets. Yes, there stood Moses, in whom the Lord God delivered the law, as you have heard from our Old Testament lesson this morning. And with him was Elijah, the great prophet, who foretold the coming of the Savior. Yet they were overshadowed. They were overshadowed, dear ones, figuratively and literally, by the brilliance of a cloud and the voice of Yahweh. Even with all of this, you and I must understand that it was not our Lord Jesus' purpose to bring his three disciples up onto this mountain so that they could have a mountaintop experience. It was not his purpose to give them a divine light show, if you will. It wasn't his motive to appeal to their emotions. He wasn't there to dazzle them with a dynamic, vibrant production. When it was all completed, when the cloud had lifted, who was left? Jesus. Jesus and Jesus alone. And what did he do? He reaches out to his disciples. He touches them and he tells them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, dear ones." Jesus reaches out to you and tells you, "Do not be afraid." As the disciples raised their heads, they saw only Jesus. And this was the purpose of our Lord's transfiguration. It wasn't the glitz and the glamour of what was going on there, but the truth of Jesus and Jesus alone. That He alone, that Jesus alone, as the Father says, is the beloved one who would now begin His journey to the cross. And here, Jesus is to save all mankind, to save you and to save me from the power of sin, death, and the devil. You may have noticed that the law and the prophets, represented by Moses and Elijah, yielded their glory and gave way to Jesus. In the words of John the Baptist, who, by the way, was the very last Old Testament prophet, he said that he must decrease while Jesus will increase. In the meantime, Peter could not quite comprehend the full weight of what he was seeing. He wanted to set up three tents, three shelters, three tabernacles for the heavenly visitors. Maybe he thought Moses and Elijah had returned from the dead. Perhaps, just perhaps, he didn't want to end this experience here on this mountaintop. He enjoyed what he was seeing, though he didn't quite understand it. Peter was weak in that way. So often is the case with us human beings. We are also weak in that way. We too are caught up in the moment. We are caught up in the experience, the glitz and the glamour. And we fail to recognize the impact of what was actually happening on the top of that mountain. Did you notice? Do you understand why Jesus did not respond to Peter? Peter's desire was to set up three tents, three tabernacles. Peter's three tabernacles, though, aren't necessary, since the law and the prophets have been fulfilled in the one true holy tabernacle, who is Jesus the Christ. Dearly beloved, what your Lord declares to you today and each day is that He is the Christ and that He is the completion of the law for all who believe in Him. He came not to abolish the law, He came to fulfill it. And He fulfilled it perfectly. Fulfilling it perfectly in all of its demands that it had on you. Yes, had on you. For Jesus has kept the law for you. And here at the cross, He took those sins and bore the full weight of His Father's wrath. And now is given to you His righteousness. Jesus observed faithfully everything that the law demanded. Jesus kept them perfectly. He kept them holy, completely for you. All of the Old Testament prophetic books found their completion. That's right, in Jesus. They point to Jesus and to Him alone. Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, they have no meaning. They have no significance apart from their witness of who Jesus is, the Messiah. The Old Testament does not prescribe laws and ceremonies that you are to observe today, since Jesus fulfilled each and every one for you. In our Lord's glorious transfiguration, Jesus has demonstrated His supremacy over the law and the prophets. Jesus declared in John chapter 5, "You search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. But it is they that bear witness about Me." Moses and Elijah were sent by the Father to bear witness of His Son, that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the Christ. And on this mountain, Moses and Elijah stand before the disciples, and God directs them not to hear these prophets, but He directs His disciples to listen to His Son. Dear one, look no further. You need not look anywhere else, for there is only one who has redeemed you. You have only one Savior. He is the Beloved One, Jesus. Look no more for a prophet. Look no more to the priest. Hear no more demands of the Levitical law with all of its ordinances and observances. Rather, God says, the Father says, listen to My Son. Listen to the Beloved One. Listen to Him, dear Christian. Listen only to Him. Listen to the Word of your Lord. Please do not be enslaved by the demands of the law, since, as Paul has declared, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. As Moses and Elijah faded from view, there is Jesus. Jesus alone. Only Jesus. And the gospel of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is your mountaintop experience. You're experiencing it right now, though you don't realize it, because you're listening to Him. Jesus, who shone His brilliant light, is the light of the world. Thank you, Owen. That's absolutely true. From the mouth of a babe comes the truth. Jesus is the light that's shining through you. You're listening to Him. Jesus is the one who has kept the law for you. You are listening to Him. You have heard what He says, that your sin is forgiven. Listen to Him. Listen to His holy absolution. And rejoice in the knowledge that you have been washed in your holy baptism and you've been purified from all sin. When you come to His altar, listen to Him and feast on His holy body and drink His holy precious blood, given and shed for you for the remission of all your sins. And therefore then, you depart in peace according to His word. So then, the glory that He exhibited there on that mountain is actually yours, yours today and always in the life of the world to come. With all that He has promised to you, dear one, there is precious little for you, His dear little lamb, to say or to sing, as you have already done with Peter in our hymn of the day. Yet, let's do it again. There are two stanzas that I'd like for you to stand and sing with us. We sing together. So therefore, please rise, turn to hymn 135, and let's sing again as we close stanzas 2 and 3. Of hymn 135, stanzas 2 and 3 of hymn 135. Jane, please. Grace, mercy, and peace to you be from God our Father, and the peace which surpasses all understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.